Good morning. Chris Welsh, where are you, Chris? Stand up. Let everybody see you. Give them the princess wave. I just wanted you to see him. There's nothing to it. Chris has been kicking the tires around here for a while. He said he wants to be a member here, so we want to recognize him as a member of our congregation. We're excited to have him. There are a few of you still kicking tires, and that's okay. But we are doing a new directory this month. We are taking pictures down in the Family Life Center, getting all the information. So you might want to kick those tires just a little bit harder, because we have an opportunity to take your picture now. So if you are interested in being a member, we'd ask that you would seriously consider that, especially this month. We continue our series this morning on being surprised by God and the ways that God works. And this morning we're going to talk about being surprised by incompetency. Let's begin in prayer. Father, we confess that we are inept, that we are weak, that we are incompetent. We don't always confess it. We often think that we are strong and that we are competent to accomplish things. But in our better moments, we confess that that strength and that competency comes from you. And this morning, Father, I'm thankful for the gift you've given me to be able to deliver your word. Ask that the words that are spoken are yours, that the message that is given is yours. So ask now the blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. How would you like to go down in history with the nickname Unready? 11th century, a fellow by the name of Ethelred was the king of England, and afterwards he was dubbed Ethelred the Unready. Well, probably because he was not ready for the Danes when they attacked, but scholars tell us that's actually not quite correct. His name Ethelred means good counsel or honorable counsel. And in the Old English, it's a play on words because it wasn't really Ethelred the Unready, it was Ethelred the Unread. And so Ethelred means good counsel, unread means bad counsel or no counsel, because he apparently surrounded himself with some people that were inept who gave him some bad counsel, and then he made bad decisions in following that, and things did not go very well for the English. So if you look up incompetent in the dictionary, you might just find a picture of Ethelred. But some in the first century in Corinth suggested that you might find a picture of the Apostle Paul, which is hard to believe for us, because when you and I think about the Apostle Paul, we think about this powerful, very competent person to do the work of God. This guy wrote more than half of the New Testament, after all. So we think of him as this powerful, perfectly trained person. He was trained to be this rabbi studying under Gamaliel. He was a Roman citizen, so he had a particular position that was going to help him out. Plus, that probably meant that he spoke Greek well, probably spoke Latin well as well. And he did not lack for confidence. Luke, in writing the book of Acts, tells us about him going into Athens and debating with philosophers in Athens, and then being confronted while he's in court, being confronted with a Roman governor and calling the governor to repent. So he does not lack for confidence. But for some in Corinth, that's not how they saw Paul. They saw him more like a kind of Wilbur Milquetoast guy like this, right? He's the guy at the beach that you're kicking sand in his face, because one bad thing after another continues to happen to Paul over and over and over again. He gets beaten. He gets beaten by mobs. He gets beaten by authorities. He gets arrested multiple times. And he actually expands upon this in 2 Corinthians and talking about the things that happens to him. Listen, he says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. He's in danger. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Well, this again sounds like the guy that everybody's kicking sand in his face at the beach, right? Does he sound incompetent to you? Well, it sounds difficult. It sounds like he's had a hard time with things, but it doesn't really sound to me like he's incompetent. But for folks in Corinth, for them, competency meant someone with great power, someone who is very, very strong, like Moses parting the Red Sea, or Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and then having all those guys killed, or Jesus coming into the temple and turning over tables. They would say, no, those guys are competent. They're winners. To top it off, for Paul, he doesn't have any letters of recommendation. Apparently, Peter or John or Andrew never took the time to get out the church letterhead and write him a letter, but apparently some others had letters, according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And so Paul does not look like a winner. He looks like a loser, like the Washington Generals that played the Harlem Globetrotters. Remember them all the time? Or for you folks that are Cub fans, he looks like Chicago Cubs. And so he's not a winner. He has no power. He has no competency. Bad things continue to happen to him. Most of us really sort of appreciate competency, don't we? I remember when I was going through basic training in the Army, we had one soldier who was quite incompetent. And you could never tell what he was going to do, but it was probably not going to be the right thing. And I remember going through this drill where they had us in two lines. And guys over here, they'd say, cover me while I move. And so this guy would run up here, and this guy's shooting down here. And then when he gets to his place, this guy starts shooting down here, and this guy starts moving. So they're doing that back and forth, leapfrogging. And I'm looking over at the line. Where is he in the line? Would you mind switching with me? Nobody wanted to be his partner because you're afraid he's not going to shoot like this. He's going to shoot like this. He was incompetent. We appreciate competency. Would you like to go to your doctor and see the certificate on the wall? He went to Joe's University for med school or something like that, right? Or Joe's law school. You would like some more competency than that in your attorney or in your doctor. Can you imagine walking on the airplane and there's the pilot reading the instruction manual? You know, right? Doesn't imbue a lot of confidence in you. So we want people who have this quality training in them. We assume that if they have some kind of certificate or some kind of diploma that they've gotten some kind of quality training. We're assuming that some kind of accrediting body somewhere has said, this person knows what they're doing. You can trust them. And if they have letters of recommendation, that doesn't hurt. We like competency. And of course, some ways, competency is in the eye of the beholder. Because most of us have at some time or other had some kind of boss. You're saying, to yourself at least, how did you get this job? You don't have a clue as to what you're doing. Who were you really related to that you ended up in this job? Because sometimes what happens is we have a way of confusing confidence with competence. Because this person can really come off talking like they know what they're talking about, and they can really act like they know what they're doing, but you find out later that's not quite true. I knew a guy one time who was really good at this. I mean, you thought he was an expert in everything. He would just go on, and he would talk about things that I didn't know anything about, so I thought, sure, he knows what he's talking about, until the day he came to something I did know something about, the Bible. And then I realized he was rambling on a bunch of rubbish, which made me think of all the other times he might have been rambling on a bunch of rubbish, but he was really good at rambling on the rubbish. He did it with such confidence. And people come off with such confidence, and we kind of confuse that with them being competent to know what they're doing. And there's been no shortage of leaders in history who've been like that, right? And so we often confuse the two. And so competence is often in the eye of the beholder, and we behold someone being competent if they seem confident and strong, and if they seem to be well-trained, and if they seem to be powerful and successful, and Paul is not measuring up. But have you ever noticed when you read your Bible how God picks leaders? Just pay attention to this a little bit. He typically goes for the incompetent ones, doesn't he? Think about Moses. Moses was not powerful. Remember when Moses encounters God at the burning bush? You remember what he says when God calls him out of the bush and tells him what he wants him to do? Moses says, I don't talk so good. Couldn't you get somebody else to do this? And it wasn't just false humility. He really wasn't completely prepared for this. What was he? He was a shepherd of sheep out on a mountain in the desert. And he had good reason to believe that if he went back to Egypt, that his own people were not going to accept him. He was incompetent. He was not strong. He was weak. Or we think about a woman from the Old Testament named Esther. You know what Esther's big claim to fame is? She won a beauty contest. She won a beauty contest, and so she became queen. But it just so happened that she was Jewish, and her cousin Mordecai had gotten in trouble with one of the leaders in Persia, and now the king was going to have all the Jews killed. And Mordecai comes to her and says, "You may be the only one who can protect us, who can go to the king." And she's just a little terrified. "Listen, I just won a beauty contest. That's it. What are you looking for here?" And he says, "Hey, it's got to be you. You've got to go in there." She says, "If I go in there, and he didn't call me, it could be..." He said, "You may have been called for just such a time as this." And so she goes in and she speaks to the king. And she wins out. But Esther was not strong. She was weak. And the same with so many others. When Saul was anointed king over Israel, he said, "Who am I? I'm from this little tribe of Benjamin, and my clan's small in the tribe of Benjamin. We're nobodies. I'm a nobody in the clan of nobodies, in the tribe of nobodies. Why would you pick me?" And Mary says the same thing when the angel comes to her. She's a teenage girl. "Why, me? Surely you're talking to someone else. Why would you pick me? I am incompetent. I am not strong. I am weak." And what about Jesus? Oh yeah, Jesus turned over tables. He's also the one who was beaten and crucify. And so Paul is accused of being weak, of being a Wilbur milquetoast, and you expect him when you read 2 Corinthians to come back and say, no, it's not true. But he says, "No, you're absolutely right. Am I incompetent? You bet I'm incompetent." We heard these words earlier. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Am I incompetent? You bet I am. Am I weak? You bet I am. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." So being weak is not the problem. Actually, being strong can be the problem, because strong people easily imagine that things are happening because of their strength, that somehow they were able to do it. "I'm saved because I was obedient to what God wanted. This church is doing well. It's doing great because I am such a good leader. I'm really good at my job because I'm very talented." There was a Babylonian king who had such hubris about himself. The prophet Daniel kept warning Nebuchadnezzar, you don't need to talk like that. God's going to deal with you. You need to kind of calm that down. But he wouldn't listen. And one day God said, "Fine, Nebuchadnezzar, why don't you go out and eat grass with the cows for a while?" And he did, 7 years. Wandered around and grazed with the cows. King Herod was the same way, thought he was something. And God said, "Here, have a case of worms." And they ate him up. When we are so full of ourselves, there is no room for God. And when there is no room for God, well, that's when we are lost more than ever. Oh, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar changed his tune, and God let him come back out of the pasture after he'd wandered around with the cow patties for a while. Strength sometimes is not the problem. Strength is the bigger liability very often. Beautiful people are the ones that struggle with pride more than others, right? People who are really intelligent are the ones that struggle with pride, thinking that they're the ones that being able to accomplish things rather than trusting in God. Now, the other side of that is some folks hear this and say, "That's right, we don't need no stinking training in church, you know? We don't need any education." I don't know if you've heard that before. Education is bad in church. It just makes people liberal and ruins them. I heard of a guy that once said, he prayed in his prayer in church, Lord, make us ignoranter and ignoranter. And apparently it worked. The problem is not with training. God seems to actually value training. Moses trained Joshua. Paul trained Timothy and Titus and told them to train other people as well. The problem is not with competency. The problem is, what is the source of our competency? What is the source of my competency? Is it me or is it God? Am I good or is God the one who is making me this way and giving me the strength and the power to do the things that God wants me to do? You could easily see, if you think about Paul and his background and training, you could easily see how things could go to his head, right? The guy does have a great background. He has a great training. He seems to be very, very intelligent and well-trained. You could see Paul kind of being this guy, I'm taking my talents to Jerusalem, you know? I'm going to go down there and show him what for, right? Johnny Manziel fans. But the problem with Paul is he had this little issue. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he says, if I could just get rid of this, boy, I could really tear it up. I could do some great things. And God said, no, I think you can keep that. And he wrote about it in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So the Apostle Paul got himself a little bit of Nebuchadnezzar prescription, right? This thorn in the flesh. And some of us need a little Nebuchadnezzar prescription. But some of us need a little Esther prescription. Some of us need a little Mary prescription. We need to be reminded that with God, nothing is impossible. We need to be reminded, as Esther was reminded, that you can do this. God has empowered you. God provides you with strength. The battle belongs to the Lord. You can do this. And some of you will say, yeah, but I've done some not good things in my life. Oh, you mean like David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, and the Bible goes on to say that he was a man after God's own heart. You mean like that? Or do you mean like Rahab, who was a prostitute, and God brought the Messiah through her? You mean bad like that? Or do you mean like Paul, who was called Saul before he was Paul, and he was out there killing Christians until God confronted him on the road and blinded him? You mean bad like that? God has a way of using all kinds of people. Sinful people are not the issue. People who will not recognize their own sin is the issue, because they are so full of themselves. If you struggle with sin, guess what that makes you? That makes you human. And humans tend to be incompetent, which is just the kind of people God likes to use. One day, a fellow by the name of Samuel showed up at Jesse's home. God had sent him there to get a new king. So he says, Jesse, line up all the boys. So he lines them all up, comes to the first one, the biggest one, Eliab. Boy, that guy just looks like a king. He's ready to pick him out. And God says, nope, not him. And Samuel is just struck. How is this possible? This guy seems to fit the bill completely. And then God said this to Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So some of us think, not competent. I don't have any strength. I don't have any gifts. I don't have anything I can do in service to God. And you know what God would say to you on that? Oh, that makes you highly qualified for my service. Let's stand and sing.